Podtacular 287 Halo 4 Armory for May 5th, 2012.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Dorn, and with me this week, I have Green Skull from Ready Up Live.
Oh, yeah.
And also Jack Fire Dragon from Cyberline Films.
And I'm here this time.
Yes. He missed the first take, but he's here for the second one, which is the most important one that gets recorded.
Well, technically it's the third take, because I fucked up. I made you screw up the second take.
Well, it really didn't start, so...
Oh, okay.
A substantial take, how about that?
Okay, sure. All right.
So, Daft was supposed to be here. He's not answering his Skype at the moment. So, when he gets on, he will probably send us an IM, and we will get him in on the show. But until then, we have Green Skull and Jack to help talk about Halo 4's multiplayer, arsenal of weapons... all the good stuff that we have coming to Halo 4 multiplayer. And one gun in particular that I think most of us are pretty pumped for. But before we get to that one, let's kind of go through some of the weapons that we already have seen before. The BR and the DMR are both returning to Halo 4, as many people know. And for the most part, I think everyone's first opinions of what would be brought back into Halo 4 before all the Halo 4 came... all of the Halo 4 news came out, was we were probably going to see some kind of mix between the two, but now since we have two distinct weapons, it's going to be interesting to see how each weapon is used over another and which people prefer more, either the BR or the DMR.
Yeah, having two weapons that are so close together, they are very similar weapons, except for the fact that, you know, the DMR is that one shot and it's further away. Like, it's for longer distances, but other than that, they are relatively similar. So it's gonna be interesting to see how they battle against each other.
Well, I think they said in, like, close range battles, the BR will always win, and in long range, DMR will always win. So,
Always being a...
depending on skill.
Depending on the skill level, like, every single shot hit the head, I think, is the idea.
Yeah.
Right. But it's a matter of people being able to use the weapon effectively, and also take into account what the weapon is designed to be for. So the battle rifle is supposed to be for more short mid-range, and then the DMR is more mid-long range.
Yeah.
So the
BR is for battling, where the DMR is for...
marking.
Marksmanning.
Marksmanning. Yeah. I don't think you can classify a battle within a distance. A battle is basically just... hey, there's Daft.
You can.
I was picking up some... Gatorade and water at the store.
Gatorade! I see.
Yeah.
Well, we have just started, so you haven't
missed Avengers?
Much. No, I have not.
Negative.
I saw it was pretty good.
I'll play it on Friday.
I am planning to go see it. I have not seen it yet, though.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Good. Well, we're
about good action, good special effects, but it actually had, like, a very, like, good coherent story, and the characters were, like, pretty fleshed out and well acted and stuff.
Cool. So let's get back to Halo 4. So we were just talking about the battle rifle and the DMR, Daft, if you have anything.
Oh, are we recording?
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
That's funny.
Yes, that's in the show. Thank you very much. Okay. So in terms of the DMR, the firing rate is supposed to be slower than its reach counterpart in order to match the firing rate of the battle rifle more closely. And from what I thought I heard someone say on another podcast, I think this might have been one of the Halo Council videos, but I heard somewhere that the battle rifle is now a 5-shot kill instead of 4-shot.
Mm.
I don't remember hearing that specifically from anyone from 343. But have you guys heard anything about that, where the DMR is still a 5-shot, but it's slower rate of fire, and the battle rifle is now 5-shot instead of 4-shot?
Well, I knew the DMR was still a 5-shot, for definite, but I still thought the BR was the 4-shot, but the point was that it had the extra recoil. added. That was the difference.
Yeah, that and when you're further away with the battle raft, you're going to miss more because of the BR spread. So.
Yeah. But I wasn't sure about the 4-5 shot thing for the BR. I assume just all 4 shot. Or, well, it's not really. I think it's an 11 shot kill. 11 headshot kill. It's how it works. It works on bullets.
Well, that's just how it worked in Halo 3. Yeah.
I think it still works that way. It may be like 13 headshots now. Which is fine. Who knows?
Well, there was supposed to be some balancing in the fact that the DMR rate of fire is now slower.
Yeah.
So, I think part of that is taking into consideration the whole there's no more bloom.
Yeah, which everyone's happy about.
So,
that... I don't like bloom very much.
Well, I did like it. I thought it introduced a new aspect to Halo, but I can understand why people would get annoyed about it because there was that randomness factor.
Yeah.
But then,
well, I didn't mind it, but I didn't mind it. I mean, I was kind of indifferent, you know, but I didn't necessarily, like, say, oh, I like it a lot, you know?
Hmm. But it gets frustrating in certain circumstances where I could be shooting someone from about maybe 10, 15 feet away, and the middle of the reticle is on their head, but because of the spray, because I'm spamming the trigger... I'm not hitting their head.
Don't spam the trigger. Like, that's user errors, is what I think the whole issue with people disliking bloom. Like, I need to time my shots. Well, time your shots anyway. Like,
yeah. Well, and it was, like, newly introduced into the Halo, you know, series. I think a lot of people wanted to go back to the comfort zone of, you know, no bloom, like, in the previous Halo games.
But, you know, you gotta respect Bungie for, you know, trying something. I mean, it would just be easy just to put out a remake of Halo 3 just with slightly different colors. I kind of respected them for doing that, so I didn't mind it. I thought it was interesting, and they found out that there were aspects of it that did work. Just tune it down a little.
It's not that I don't like it from a personal standpoint. It's just that it can be annoying sometimes.
Yeah, it can be. Weren't there people who argued that like, even in Halo 3... Even though the reticule on the screen wasn't blooming, there was actual bloom going on, like, kind of behind the scenes.
There
anyway.
Was spread. There wasn't bloom.
Yeah, it was spread. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's. I mean, some people will argue it's similar, and a lot of people will argue that it's not. And technically, it's not the same system.
But they can be compared. You can't deny that they can definitely be compared.
Right.
In this case, right.
Right.
But anyways, I thought we'd move on from Bloom, because that could last forever.
Just like the Armor Lock show, right?
Yeah.
So what would you guys pick up initially? Would you start with a BR, or would you start with a DMR?
Either.
If you had to pick one, so say this is the loadout you're starting with, and you can only pick either the BR or the DMR, which one would you pick
for either, the loadout? They both seem fairly viable.
I think I'd do BR, because I'm a very close range player. Like, I like to just melee kill everybody. So having like a DR, a DMR, I mean.
A DR?
Having a DR.
There's that mythical combine of the BR and the DMR. It's the DR.
Designated rifle. Yeah, that, I definitely think the BR would be better for
it's
me.
It's the Dan Hamill rifle. Like,
around, yeah, well, exactly. But
well, I hope
I'll,
now.
I'll try both, but I feel like BR would be my one in the end.
Yeah, because for me it'd be DMR, and that's what's going to be. I think hopefully, because the assault rifle's still in there, but what it will do is the BR will replace the assault rifle as the kind of close quarter weapon that people use. So that should be proper rather than just people AR charging you the whole time.
I don't think so. I think the assault rifle will still have like a faithful following. You know.
Yeah. It was just annoying me.
I don't think it'll be like a debate of like, you know, BR versus DMR. I think like everyone will just kind of like learn that like either like they both have like their unique situation that they're both good for and like bad for.
It's a preference thing almost, and I'm sure the preferences would change even based on map. Larger maps, I would assume a lot more people would start off with the DMR over the BR, and a lot more close quarter maps. So like you're gonna see a lot more BR starts.
It also depends on the zoom. What's the zooming?
The zooms are the same. From what I understand, I think the BR is still 2x, and I think the DMR is still 3x.
Oh, okay.
So at times it will feel reminiscent of Reach with, like, you know, cross mapping with the DMR on like Hemorrhage or something, but other times it'll be like more like Halo 3 with BR duels.
Right. So it's almost like they're taking the best of both worlds when putting both of these in here.
Yeah. Isn't that the theme of the whole thing? Even graphics, right?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, we were talking that a couple episodes ago, like the graphics, like it's like the crisp detail of Reach, but the colorful vibrance of Halo 3.
Oh,
like,
right.
And people have argued for ages, like, which was better, 3 or Reach, and that, but they're kind of combining both in every aspect of Halo 4.
Yeah, I would assume that's what they're trying to do, is bring back a lot of the aspects from Halo 3, but keep a lot of the stuff that was very prominent and successful in Reach and incorporate those. I would say their base is probably more geared towards Halo 3 than it is Reach, and they're integrating Reach than it is the other way around.
Yeah.
I have the feeling that's kind of how they're viewing it.
They keep pushing Halo 3 a lot and saying, you know, they took a lot of cues from Halo 3 and stuff, so I definitely think it's going to feel and look and act a lot more like Halo 3 than Reach.
Well, it seems like a lot more people have stuck to Halo 3 from Reach than they did with Halo 2 to Halo 3.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that has some sort of influence on the situation, that they're focusing on the Halo 3 stuff and bringing that back into the fold of the Halo universe.
Well, wasn't Halo 3 effectively like the pinnacle of the series, like overall? The highest point, and then Reach was successful, but it wasn't as successful.
Well, if you're talking about MLG, then yes, but to be honest, I still think Halo 2 was the day when Halo really started booming. Like, that, I think that was the pinnacle, Halo 2 days, after the update.
Right.
I mean, maybe not for numbers, but numbers-wise, Halo 3, then yeah. But I think Halo 2 was when it was like the most popular, I'd say, popularity-wise, not numbers-wise.
Well, interestingly enough, if you look at the Bungie stats, Halo Reach has more games played than Halo 3 does.
Really?
I think.
That sounds intriguing. Really?
I think. Hang on, let me check.
I think it might have more average. I don't think it has more games played. It might have more average per day or something.
I can't see it having more games played either.
Hang on. There's some weird stat of Reach having over something else that I found really interesting.
I think it had more games played per day on average. I think that was it. Because there was such a boom at the start for people playing Reach, and then it kind of died away. It was something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And couldn't that have been partially
yeah, Halo Reach has, on average, 1.5 billion more games played per month.
Yeah, that's it.
Over Halo 3, which had 1.4 billion games played per month.
Yeah.
That
well, wasn't a ton of Halo 3's audience stolen by COD 4 at the beginning of Halo 3's life?
Well,
that's part. I mean, that could possibly be part of it, right?
It could
possibly.
Be. We'll see what happens also with the release date.
Whoa, what came out with Halo Reach? Wasn't it
Black Ops?
Black Ops, yeah. Like, and now we have Black Ops 2 coming out with Halo 4.
Yes, yeah, so I'm a little bit nervous about that. But
well, I think like what happened with Halo versus COD was like, you know, COD 4 was this, you know, hot new thing. Tons of people went to that, but then by Black Ops, like, a lot of people like got off the COD train and maybe even went back to Halo, like Halo Reach. Where like when Black Ops came out, it was like another one of these, like, you know, again this year.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with COD is that a lot of people are saying that they're not adding anything new, whereas Halo has always tried to add something new for every single game they've released.
Yeah. So I agree. I think that's one of the reasons why Halo 4 is such a more rich experience than over Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Where Call of Duty, they just try and refine, you know, add a few more perks, maybe add a new game type or two, whereas Halo will try and add a completely new, complete area where you'll spend hours and hours and hours playing.
Right, you can see a certain progression in each game with Halo. So Halo 1 you had and all the stuff in Halo 1. Halo 2 you had online multiplayer. Halo 3 you had Forge and Theater. ODST, you had Firefight.
Which is now getting scrapped.
Well, not exactly.
Well, I mean, the core mode, yes. I mean, yeah, it'll be a little bit in Spartan Ops, but I mean, the very, you know.
Right, vanilla Firefight is not there, right.
Well, the point is, I don't think the Firefight playlist. Well, I mean, obviously the Score Attack playlist in the matchmaking was played a lot, but the actual Firefights, like, lobby area was, I mean, I barely used it apart from to get the achievements in the game. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I never used
it. Or credits.
Yeah, no, I just used credit farm.
Credits, the achievements, like the million point achievement. That's the only time I use the Firefight lobby, the actual lobby they have.
Oh, yeah, like you mean like custom game Firefight. Yeah. I'm the same. I've done it like once.
Never use that apart from that stage.
I thought you were talking about just like Firefight in general.
No. Matchmaking Firefight is still pretty popular. Not popular enough, clearly, but the actual Firefight lobby, that no one used it. The custom game Firefight, no one used it.
That's a good point.
Except for those challenges where it was like, oh, get a million kills, like a million points in one game or whatever, yeah.
So then someone just released a game type which you can do in 10 minutes, and there you go, done.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the reasons is because you don't get as many points for offline Firefight and custom games.
Yeah.
For credits. I think that's been one of the big turnoffs.
But if you did, then that possibly drains some of matchmaking's population, because those people would just go and do that in the custom games for points all day.
There's credit boosting as well. You know,
I would think there's some smart algorithm they could actually employ to detect that kind of stuff, though.
You're going to limit the amount of credits people get by playing custom Firefight?
I mean, there's daily caps anyways. The
daily cap can just take care of that. They don't need to make another thing specifically for custom Firefight.
Well, I'm saying that they could, though.
But they don't need to, because there's a daily cap already. If anything, that would just be discouraging people from playing custom Firefight.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, you could spend like half an hour, but still only get... Because I think that in the custom games, the amount of credits you got was determinant on your actual rank. So as you got a higher rank, you get more credits. It was only about 300 to 500, that was about it.
Right. I think it was you got 10 times the amount of your rank.
Yeah.
So if you were a recruit, you got 10 credits.
That sounds about right, because I think I get 300.
If you're a hero, you get 280 credits, because that's level 28, or something like that. I don't know. It's something along those lines.
Yeah, it sounds similar to that.
It's something that they'll probably look into for Halo 4, since they're bringing the credit system back, from what I've heard.
I mean, so, I tell you the play that I loved was Action Sack. And I think that's just a custom game thing.
Well, the Action Sack is the free-for-all stuff, right?
No, it's not all that. It's the stuff like the playlist like hockey, where you play hockey and pinball and all those stuff.
Oh, okay.
But that's the one I love. And that to me, is just custom games. And that's what they need to do. They need to bring that back. But that's going a lot away from Arsenal. We should kind of get back to the...
Yeah, I would like to see a few more of those, or some more game and map variants in that playlist. Because hockey's and the skee ball are fun and all, but there's some other good game types too.
Hmm.
Like some game types that you wouldn't normally see in matchmaking, but I think what are fun is speed.
Yeah.
For one.
I mean, at one point, you can just have fun playing zombies and speed, but actually get some good credits for it rather than just the custom game credits.
Right. It's not like you have to also pay out a large amount of credits either, but if you want to play with someone else on those fun game types that are typically highly custom nights, but aren't really designed in terms of getting credits for matchmaking, then I think it would be a smart move to have a playlist for those kinds of games. Mm. So your race games, stuff like speed, stuff like the toilet bowl, and there's a few other ones that are not necessarily focused to getting scores or kills or anything, but are more fun types. I would think there should be a playlist for that.
Call it the fun playlist.
The fun playlist.
Is it just me, or did it feel like Halo 3 had a way more active, like, crazy custom game community than Reach did?
It did, but I can't exactly pinpoint where or why it went wrong, because, I mean, you look at Forge World. I mean, I used to forge like crazy in Halo 3. Then they added this fantastic forge system for Halo Reach, and I did nothing. I don't know what happened, but something about...
I think the primary reason for that is because of how new the forge system was, and how much time and effort you had to get, or you had to put into making these forge maps with all the tricks that you do with geometry merging and stuff, where it was a real talent to make forge stuff, And then when it went to Reach, Forge was already known by a lot of people. And another thing with the Forge in Halo Reach is that it's all gray. There's no real texture to the maps that you can add to, where with Foundry and Sandbox, you had some, at least some basic color set than the dull gray.
But it is a really good point that you make there that, yeah, in Halo 3, when there was like a really well-made popular map, you knew it. As soon as you loaded up that map, you go, holy crap, someone made this? Like, there's no way I could spend that time. Where on Reach, I've only ever really ran into like one or two maps where I'm actually extremely impressed by what they've done. Because the tools at hand, like, it's awesome that everyone can make these awesome maps now, but it definitely does limit that. Like, it separates, it kind of groups everybody together in like the same bunch.
And I don't think that's necessarily because of lack of talent. I think it's just how Forge is done in Reach and how everything is flat, square geometries that you have to use in Forge World. And I would almost go to say if they had, and this is something I've been pushing for, but if they had something like a Covey-themed Forge World-esque type map or a human Forge World-type-esque like texture pack they could apply or skins or a completely separate map that you could do this with, that Forge would be a lot, or people would, a lot more people would invest in making Forge maps because there's a wider palette. So
yeah, I mean, as you know, slick and like with what like I idyllic the whole Forerunner motif on Forge World is, I mean, you need more than gray.
Yeah,
there is green grass, and there is blue water, and there's a blue sky.
Well, it's also kind of a strain on your eyes after a while, because you start to miss things with the gray, and the colors help make things pop, and you can see things better, and it's not as strenuous on the eyes.
Great for puzzle maps, though.
Great for puzzle maps?
Yeah.
That is true. I mean, the geometries and stuff is fine, it's just we need some texture skins.
Minecraft.
Well, apparently the Forge editor in Halo 4 is going to be insane. Rumors basically have it where it's going to be, you can change the terrain and you can do some other pretty crazy stuff with Forge. And that's the rumor. They haven't, in the Game Informer podcast, which will focus more on another show, is that they're not talking about Forge right now, but it sounds like there's going to be a lot more details coming around the pipe pretty soon. So to get back on topic with multiplayer and specifically the weapons, the assault rifle is making a comeback.
Yay.
It doesn't look like anything's really different about it, other than probably updated graphics, new textures, and all that stuff.
It's your bread and butter of the arsenal, right? It's a strong right. filler, like it's kind of like carbs in a way.
Isn't the MA5D the one that was? Well, we had the MA5B in Halo 1. The MA5D was in Halo 3, right?
I have no idea.
It looks like the Halo 3 one, yeah.
Right. Okay. So that hasn't changed.
No. Although the spread may be a little bit bigger. I hope it'll be a little bit bigger.
Than it was in Halo 3?
I'll be honest, I haven't played Halo 3 in a while, but I know in Halo Reach, the spread is not big enough. Like you can't, not quite from across the map, but you can assault rifle people from fair distances.
I don't know if I would disagree with toning down a rifle, because I think in Reach that AR is straight up useless.
They're useful if you use it in bursts. So if you manually 3-round burst or 4-round burst the assault rifle, it's a lot more effective.
Yeah.
I just feel like it did more in other games. Maybe it's just me, but I can never get kills with it in Reach.
I think for me it was the AR versus the DMR Bloom that was the whole point. That even if you did perfect 5 shots to people, they weren't perfect 5 shots. They took 7 shots, and then by that time, they're right next to you anyway, so they're beating you down.
Right.
So I felt like it was overpowered, but maybe it wasn't, just because of the DMR. The CR will shut down the AR in Halo 4.
It should.
I hope so.
If it doesn't, then that's kind of funky.
AR SWAT.
Yeah, that would be a different playlist. That's not SWAT anymore. Because the AR is not meant to be a precision weapon.
No, that would be interesting if people start using it for precision headshots.
Yeah. That. We start seeing headshot medals for the AR.
That's when you know things have gone too far.
You see it in a lot of other games, though, where you get headshots with other weapons, like in Battlefield and
shotguns
and Call. Yeah, yeah, you can get headshots with shotguns.
Yeah,
and Call of Duty, Battlefield 3, and those games, you can get headshots with any weapon.
Yeah, but in those games, a sniper rifle to the foot kills you.
Not in Battlefield.
Okay, not in Battlefield, but in Call of Duty, a sniper rifle to the
Battlefield,
foot.
Battlefield, you can take 3 body shots with a sniper and you're still alive.
Well, which is also not exactly very realistic. At least with Halo, you know, two body shots, you're dead. One head shot, you're dead.
Yeah, in Battlefield, the shotgun can kill people pretty long range.
Yeah,
very. Sniping with a shotgun.
But people can.
I mean, shotgun is meant for mostly short range, but it can reach out kind of far depending on the rounds that you're putting in a shotgun. So it's not completely out of the realm of possibility for Battlefield.
Hmm.
And you're not a super soldier like you are in Halo 4 with energy shields and titanium armored plating.
Well, true, but if someone comes up to it with you with a shotgun right in front of your chest, I don't think you're surviving that.
No, you're dead instantly.
Yeah.
Or you're in so much pain where you shouldn't be able to pick up a weapon and return fire.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting game mechanic. Your body's in half, but you can still shoot for 10 more seconds while you bleed to death.
Well, no, because then you're in last stand mode, and if you introduce that to Halo, then I quit Halo if they introduce last stand into Halo. It's annoying enough in COD. You cannot introduce last stand into Halo.
I don't see them putting it in.
I hope not.
They're not going to. It's not Halo whatsoever.
I mean, I could agree with the fact of maybe if you've been shot in the arm, your accuracy goes crazy. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
But if you've been shot in the head with a sniper, then you suddenly go down and say, I'm okay. Actually, my brain's on the floor, but I'm okay. Really? That's no.
Right. Let's see. The sniper rifle is also making a return. It's pretty much the same.
Scope's a little bit different.
Fantastic.
Well, every sniper rifle's had its small changes, but it's essentially the sniper rifle.
Yeah.
I mean, the barrel looks the same. The scope looks very similar. I want to know... Well, they probably don't do this, but it would be nice to actually be able to use the biped on the sniper rifle.
That would be cool.
So whenever you're on the little ridges,
yeah,
have little... Gosh, I'm blanking on words right now. Like the guardrails, there we go. And you can like crouch down and use the biped. Although, since there's really no... Huh.
Well, there's
no bloom anymore, so...
Well, there's no movement with the sniper rifle. In other games, you have to hold your breath.
That's true, yeah.
So there's no need for the bipod, unless it could be like more powerful, like you can make a more powerful shot or something.
Huh. I wonder how that mechanism would work, because there's the biped on there, and so what's the point?
A tiny bit more auto-aim, if you, like, even the slightest amount would make a huge difference, right?
That's true, yeah.
So, like, that wouldn't be a game, like, changing, like, it wouldn't screw anything up too bad. Yeah.
No, I mean, if you said, like, the biped...
Well, no, that makes sense, because if you're using the biped, you're basically on a swivel, so you have a lot more control over your aim.
Exactly.
So that would make sense. Make just a tad bit increase on the auto aim.
Maybe you could also increase zoom like to 20 times. Like when you're on the run, only 10 times, but zoom
maybe 20. 12. I wouldn't say 20 as. Oh, say, maybe 10 to 12.
Just make it clear that these speculations are so far from true. Like there's no way that's gonna happen.
Right, no, but we can always hope.
We should dream.
There are people at 343 just sitting there,
and you never know. They might be thinking of this.
How do they know? How do they know this?
It's like, this is supposed to be top secret information. How are they already guessing what these things are? I mean, we have no idea what 343 is thinking and how far-fetched of an idea something might be. It might be true in Halo 4 when it comes around.
We can't read.
And of course, these are just things that we are speculating on, and it would be interesting to see these in-game. Whether they're in-game or not, I don't think it's going to change our opinions of how much we like or, for others, dislike Halo, the Halo franchise. So it'll just be a matter of what features we're going to see in the game coming down the pipe.
Well, it might for us, but unfortunately there are people out there who those kind of things will make them hate Halo, unfortunately.
Yeah, I want to have a show at some point talking about all the little things that aren't necessarily game changers for Halo 4, but it would be interesting additions to support the gameplay and enrich the gameplay of the Halo franchise, and I think that would be one of them, is using something like the biped on a sniper rifle.
More people watching theater. I fed up with only being able to see my own clips in theater. Why did they remove that? I don't get that.
I think it was just because of the network latency.
Well, bring it back. It was awesome.
And it only worked for full clips. Like full films.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that would be a mini thing to do. Like, bring it back for like watching clips.
Yeah. Anyways, one weapon that they didn't put on here, which I would assume is making a return, is the shotgun.
Well, it is. In the Red versus Blue video, Sarge is holding a shotgun.
That's true. Yeah, even though it wasn't in this article. But yeah, that totally skipped my mind. That's true. So yeah, there is the shotgun. There isn't any details on it from the Game Informer side of things.
But judging by the look of that Red vs. Blue video, it's literally the exact same. Yeah,
it's the shotgun. Sarge has to have his shotgun.
It's not much in gameplay or look or anything like that. So.
Yeah. I would assume the only weapons that are going to get a major overhaul from this list so far are the battle rifle and the DMR.
What about the pistol?
That's a good thing that we haven't talked about.
Because, I mean, obviously in the trailer, there's that whole thing with the pistol being an explosive weapon. So,
when you put the silencer on it, right?
That's the trailer. That.
Well, yeah, but still, there's something there.
There's no reason they'd get rid of that, right?
No, I don't think they'd get rid of the pistol.
Right, but that's also something that wouldn't necessarily definitely be in the game because it was in the trailer.
I think it's pretty safe to say, because look at it this way. Look at, and this is an interesting, a perfect example of this, is back in Halo 3 when they first showed off that bubble shield.
I knew you were going to say that.
What I'm saying is he threw the grenade. It was obviously a completely different how it actually turned out in the game, but it was still a bubble shield. Like, it still functioned in the same way. So there's no reason they're going to get rid of some kind of rocket-propelled pistol gun.
Yeah.
In some form of it, right?
It was a grenade, and then in the final product, it was like, well, you know, you're shooting at me, so let me just set up this tripod right here. Just give me a sec for this. And...
Let me just quickly just put on this explosive thing. Just hang on.
Let me just unfold the legs on this tripod and, you know, set it down.
The game freezes whilst you do this. Sorry, someone's setting up a tripod. Someone's moving the tripod.
That's a good point, though. Do we remember what the...
Hey, who's an ODST phone?
That would be me. That's me.
Message.
Shut up. Did anyone get a good look at the pistol? I want to say I remember seeing the Red vs. Blue guys have pistols.
Pistol, if that's what you're asking, yes.
Was it the...
It's on a
It
screen.
Was the pistol. It wasn't the Magnum. It was the pistol, right?
That's correct.
All right.
It looks the exact same as like the Halo 1, like the white with the red dot on it and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a screen behind one of the guys in a Game Informer video that was just sitting there with a guy holding a pistol.
All right. That's what I thought. I was just wanted to make sure that's...
Yeah,
what I remembered seeing. Because that's another thing that's not going to drastically change, I think. Well, I would like to see some changes to it. Because we definitely saw a change in it in Reach. And then once it got the bloom taken out and have the TU settings to match the Halo... One settings, the three-shot pistol was really...
I wouldn't mind having the pistol be strong. Like, not that strong, but maybe a little closer to that, like the anniversary playlist. I have so much fun with the pistol in the anniversary playlist. Like, that's probably my favorite, most enjoyable playlist, just because the pace of it, And they keep talking about how they're making Halo 4 so much faster paced, so much more like older Halo games, that if they actually make the pistol useful, it will definitely speed things up. Considering it'll be like a very, very often a secondary weapon, right?
So but it doesn't need to be as powerful as that Halo 1 pistol.
Oh, no. Yeah, like not that far.
That was the problem that we had, because, I mean, I'm a big MLG guy, and there was, for like V7, the pistol was introduced, and people weren't even bothering to use the DMR because the pistol was so much more powerful because of the zero bloom thing. So I could understand if the pistol is as powerful as that, but they need to add recoil to it, a lot of recoil.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's too powerful, and people want to use the BR or the DMR because the pistol's faster and more accurate.
I would agree on the recoil.
Yeah, you need some recoil on it.
I would say that's a definite must.
Yeah, especially with a pistol, right? Like, that just makes sense.
Yeah, not, I mean, it's stable.
Yeah, it's a high-powered round, and or high magnum round, sorry. And it just makes sense to do it that way.
Mm.
Any other weapons? I don't think we'll...
Rocket launcher?
Rocket launcher, that has to be in
there. I want the grenade launcher to come back.
Well, my thought is that...
this weapon that we're going to talk about?
Because I'm going to... That this connects.
Let's hit on rockets real quick, and then we'll get to the special weapon.
Connect.
Sorry.
Rockets, I don't think are going to change though.
Yeah. Although the auto lock, it was taken out in Halo 3. It was in Halo 2 and Halo Reach. I would say keep it in.
Right? I would say keep it
in. Lock on the vehicles.
Vehicles, but not for grounded.
Yeah, air vehicles only.
So not warthogs and tanks.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
well, it didn't track onto warthogs and tanks in Halo Reach, right?
It's been so long since I've played a map with tanks and warthogs that I don't even know anymore.
No, it doesn't. It just does air, I think.
Okay, well, doing air is fine, but ground vehicles, no.
Because the only air vehicles we have is the
Banshee.
Hornet Banshee or Falcon Banshee mix. I guess we'll have to do a show on Forerunner vehicles.
Oh, God.
Speculation on that.
Man, right. that's
so, good. Yes, Green Skull, we can move on to the special gun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
So the weapon that got revealed last week is the Railgun, or the Asymmetric Recoilless Carbine 920, whose description reads... The ARC 920 Railgun is a compact channel linear accelerator that fires a high explosive round at incredible speed, delivering both kinetic and explosive force to both hard and soft targets alike.
Okay, here's my theory on this. There's everything I think about, and I've talked to a lot of people about this, there's only two types of weapons that I think this could be, either like replacing or whatever. And that is something similar to the Spartan laser, where you charge it. Think of the final mission in Reach when you're on that giant gun and you're firing, how it winds up and then fires the burst. I feel like it could absolutely handle like that, but that would mean pretty much getting rid of the Spartan laser because they're so similar, and I just don't see a place for both. But they are having the DMR and BR, so you never know. But so either that or a brute shot type weapon, because the humans haven't had something like that other than the grenade launcher, kind of, where it fires a burst that knocks you around and is relatively powerful, but not like insanely powerful. That's really the only two I think it could be like.
I would agree.
I would almost say
for the whole recharging thing, it would either be that where you charge it up for a few seconds like the Spartan laser, but if the Spartan laser were in there, I would almost say that after you fire it, it has a recharge time, and then after it's fully recharged, you can use it whenever.
Hmm.
Because if you look in... Well, if you read up on the whole... MAC guns that are in the frigate class or like the Goshawk, is they charge up and then whenever you're ready to fire, you fire. Like they can hold the charge and then when you issue the command to fire, then you can actually shoot and then it has to recharge again.
That would make a lot of sense. And that's kind of how the focus rifle works in a way, right? Like where it's not like a hold up charge, but more of a matter of you got to make sure it's not like been used, right?
It's like an energy weapon, yeah.
Yeah. That's how I see it. Like, honestly, when you actually look at the railgun And it just makes me think exactly of that. What is that called anyway? The giant gun at the end of Reach, that a big Covenant or whatever, not Covenant.
It's the Mac Cannon.
Yeah, the big Mac Cannon.
They just call it the Mac Cannon, I think.
When I picture it, I just feel it handling like that. Like just picture this little thing in your hand where you hold the trigger and you see that little bar go pop.
Well, it looks very similar.
That's what I get from it.
The magnetic coils part looks very similar to the turret on that Mac Cannon. It's just in a compact form.
I'll be honest. What it looks like to me is like kind of like a cross between a shotgun. Not a cross. It looks like kind of like you could use it as a shotgun. Like close range, you could use it as a single fire shotgun round. But long range, you can use it as like a sniper rifle.
I can't see it as being a close range weapon at all, to be honest. Something like that, where it sounds like it's a one shot precision thing. Like easiest thing to compare it to again would either be a brute shot or a Spartan laser, where it's, you know, you could probably use it close, but it's not.
But it's designed for long range.
Yeah, it's all about like aiming, making sure you get that one shot off, is how I'm seeing it being used.
One interesting thing that kind of caught my attention was most of the Mac Cannon stuff that we see throughout the Halo universe is they're just metal shells. They're not explosive shells per se. So the whole having the explosive part on the end is kind of interesting. Because if you look at the Goshawks, they're not necessarily explosive rounds that are being shot. It's just if you get hit and you get hit on impact, you're basically killed from the impact. So the whole explosive part is going to be interesting to see what splash damage happens. So if you miss someone but they're close to a wall, how much will that explosion affect the people around what you hit?
And then is it gonna move people? Is it just gonna damage their shields, or will it actually force them?
See, that's exactly how I see it. Now, if you read that one part again there, Dustin, if you could, about the, what does it say? It has like physical or kinetic, or what was that
and
about?
It delivers both kinetic and explosive force to both hard and soft targets alike.
Kinetic being a very key word here. Why bother putting that in there if it isn't going to actually move you? And that's the reason I came up with the brute shot conclusion, is, you know, they put such an emphasis on the kinetic moving soft and hard objects, right? So you hit someone with this, and if you don't get a headshot or something, for instance, it doesn't kill them, it'll knock them around at least. So that's definitely getting a brute shot vibe off it. Maybe, like, literally what I'm thinking is between brute shot and Spartan laser, where you need to charge it, and it's a little slower firing and a little stronger, but it does have that kinetic force to it.
Well, what about the concussion rifle? That stuff, that thing moves stuff. I would think it's something like that.
Right? And that's another thing. That's another reason I thought of the brute shot, is that the humans haven't had one, right? It's the Covenant have had that, and that's pretty much the exact same thing, and now humans can have this.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know why. With the kinetic and explosive thing, I think you're right with the brute shot thing. Like, it could be a single fire brute shot similar weapon, but I still feel like there's going to be like both. Like, you can actually choose to do that single fire, but you can still like charge it up. It'll be both. Like, for long-range targeting, you can use that explosive, like, weapon, but for single shots, you can use that for kinetic. I'm not sure.
No, from what they're making it sound like, it's just the shell. It says delivers both kinetic and explosive force. It means it's doing, it's
exactly
providing the same thing in one shot.
Mm.
It's basically how that's worded.
Right, it still could be, like, the charge-up and single-fire thing, both in there. Because, I mean, they had that with the plasma grenade launcher, that you could do a single shot or you could charge that up.
Right, and the...
Well, actually, I did think about that, too, that it could be that way, absolutely. So, again, going back to this Mac Cannon comparison, think about it how you have your meter charging, and say you only want to bring it halfway, and then you can fire off a ton of them, and it would be more like a brute shot in that sense, where you just keep popping off explosive rounds and knock someone around, or you can hold it, get it all the way to the top, and then fire that off, and that'll be like a very high-powered one-shot kill.
I mean, almost reminds me of the way the beam rifle gets used in terms of its energy.
Exactly. Beam rifle, but more of a concussive property to it.
Right. So we're mixing about four or five different weapons into this railgun right now.
Combination weapon here. But everything I've talked about it, like I've read up on about it, and all this we talked about right now, it just makes the most sense. I really can't see it unless they totally come out of nowhere and it's something we're way off, but. Considering, like, one thing you definitely got to consider is what factions have what weapons. because often things get replaced and like there's no reason to have two of the same weapons. So anybody who I know a lot of people right away thought it would be kind of like a sniper weapon. I just can't see that happening because the humans already have a sniper, right? So you got to consider what holes are missing in the human faction, the UNSC arsenal.
But if you look at the kind of weapons that we have today, we have different kinds of assault rifles.
Oh yeah, but in Halo.
Right, yeah.
And I'm talking about a video game here.
There's, yeah there's the whole lore aspect of it. But I'm just not saying it's not out of
the
realistic
realm. What makes it confusing is the fact that I mentioned before that, yeah, they have the BR and the DMR. So maybe they will be making more slightly similar weapons and just having more of them. But I just don't think that's very likely.
But what we've said has made sense so far, where this is basically a Mac gun in a condensed
Someone on my YouTube coined the name Mini Mac, which we talked about before the show, I think. I like that name for it, the Mini Mac.
Well, if you think about it, a real gun is a Mini Mac.
Mini Mac.
So it's the same thing. Real gun is just a projectile propelled by magnets.
Yep.
So, I think I don't see it necessarily replacing the Spartan laser.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like that's why I'm leaning more towards a brute shot type thing. It's because the Spartan laser is so iconic now. It's definitely a very, very Halo weapon. Like people know it, right? So I can't see that getting the boot.
Right.
Spartan laser. Well,
although they
well, it is
they need to quote unquote fix the Spartan laser, because you can shoot right through the middle of a Wraith or a tank and it's still functioning.
Well, the thing with that is I think there was a bit of a Spartan laser overdose in Halo 3. You know, you play big team on Sandpiper Valhalla or something. I mean, it's like Spartan lasers galore. Like it's insane. And I think they want to tone that down a little bit for Reach, and so that they, you know, less shots, a little bit weaker on less maps, etc. I'm sure it'll be in Halo 4. Yeah, I mean, it's fairly iconic at this point.
I just think for the Spartan laser, it needs to have the power from Halo 3 back, where it's you get hit by the thing, you're dead, and in vehicles.
Yeah, it's where it's a lot more rare to get hit by like one of the beams and survive. Or I can find a Reach that happens a lot. Like you shoot at a guy and he'll only get brushed by it. Where in Halo 3, it's so much more rare for that to happen.
I agree. So fix that up a little bit. Railgun's going to be interesting to see. It's like a goshawk in your hands, basically.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Well, that's a very good way to compare, right? Is the goshawk turret, where that is a very kinetic weapon.
It is.
Just make that smaller, weaker, and you get a feel of what it would be like.
Right. And this is definitely not a weapon that will be in the loadouts, but it'll definitely be in the ordnance drops.
Well, that's the thing, is I'm not even sure about that. I don't think it will be a power weapon. And my reason for that...
The railgun?
Yeah, I don't
not
think it'll
a
be
power weapon.
Honestly, yes. I honestly don't think it'll be... Okay, a
it
power
pushes people around with kinetic force.
It'll be a power weapon in the sense that the concussion rifle is a power weapon. Like, not like a rocket or a sword where you're f***ed if that guy has that.
No, okay. I see what he means. Did anyone necessarily see the brew shot as a power weapon?
Yeah, exactly. It's not really a power weapon per se. It's a strong weapon.
It's like a middle class weapon.
Yeah,
so middle.
That's how I'm seeing this. Because even look at it. There was I think it's on like the OXM cover that they actually show Master Chief holding it. But if you notice all the power weapons, think about them. You got the rocket launcher, the sniper, the sword. You know when someone has it. The rocket's huge. The sword glows. Like, you know when someone has a power weapon. This thing, you really can't distinguish from an assault rifle. So I don't think it'll be like, holy crap, he has it, because you can't really notice.
Well, it's hard to notice sometimes between a sniper rifle and a DMR in Reach.
I disagree, but my point is, you know...
It's harder to differentiate the two than a rocket launcher and a sword.
Sure. But nonetheless, this one, it's too under the radar, this gun, for it to be a power weapon. I mean, obviously we'll see, but I'm placing it as a middle-class concussion rifle type weapon.
Or almost like a shotgun.
Yeah.
Class.
Shotgun's like a power weapon, but not like a, oh, crap, he's got the rockets, everyone's dead.
I don't know, because in some instances, a shotgun's considered a power weapon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But
so that would, in turn, in my mind, make the railgun a power weapon.
Well, a concussion rifle slash like brute shot.
So we're operating on the fourth tier right now, where we have our small handguns, we have our main battle class, which is our DMRs, BRs, ARs, we have our heavy weapons, which are sniper rifles and rocket launchers, and then we have this fourth class, which is basically shotgun, concussion rifle, railgun, and that kind of stuff, right? That's kind of what
I'd argue that shotgun is more of a power weapon, but yeah, pretty much.
But if this thing has the ability to move people around and explode on impact...
Again, that's saying the brute shot's a power weapon. I don't think anybody would consider the brute shot a power weapon.
So you're thinking that if you don't get hit with this thing head-on, that you're dead?
No. Wait, what?
In my mind, if you can get hit with this thing in one shot and you're dead, that's a power weapon.
Well, that's the thing.
It doesn't say that. And did the brute shot kill people in one shot? No.
Yeah, so I'm thinking it'll be more like the brute shot. But again, what I mentioned before, that it could very potentially have that charge-up period where you could get where you hold the trigger down, it could be potentially more powerful. But I can't see it being a one-hit kill weapon.
Huh.
So, charge up. So, like, kind of akin to the plasma pistol. The more you charge up, the more powerful it is.
Yeah, I can see that absolutely being a possibility. Where if you spam that trigger, you'll get a brute shot style gun where it just fires off, and it definitely, like, if you notice the brute shot, do fire it kind of haphazardly around the guy. So, it'll hurt him, but it's not going to kill him that quickly. It's just going to knock him around a bit. I think it could feel like that. But if you do hold it, you could definitely take him out of one or two shot.
So our potential theory is brute shot plus plasma pistol. Being made by the humans equals railgun.
I still think the best comparison for it would be a concussion rifle. What was I going to say? Oh, the brute shot / Spartan laser. Some kind of combination between those is what I get out of it.
Okay.
My gut still tells me a power weapon. I would think that if you get hit by that thing, it's a one-hit kill.
My gut first told me...
So small.
Because it fires a high explosive round at incredible speed. You're going to take damage just on the speed of the impact, and then it explodes when it hits you.
I mean,
I kind of think it would be a one hit kill if you got hit head on with this thing.
There's the other side of this: is that if they're either A, getting rid of the Spartan laser, or B, just including this with the Spartan laser, it would be more akin to a Spartan laser. Because I can definitely see it being a Spartan laser type weapon where it's a charge up, a one shot kind of, you know, you got to hold it. You got to make sure you get your shot right. You can't just miss it. But if you're beside them, you'll hurt them a bit. I see it can be like that. But again, the main issue there being that I can't see them getting rid of the Spartan laser because it's so iconic. And that's the main reason I don't think it is that position. But it could very well be.
It's just looking at the wording, high explosive round at incredible speed, there really is only one weapon I can think about in all video games that says, and that's a noob tube from Call of Duty. And that sounds like direct shot, direct impact kill will kill you, but if it landed next to you, it will take out your shields and move you.
And then the reason I don't think it's that is because, what, suddenly we have another rocket launcher, right? Like, and that just doesn't seem right to me.
Hmm. Rocket launcher doesn't move you that much.
I still think the closest we can get here is something between a brute shot and a Spartan laser. I'm gonna stick with that for sure.
All right.
I mean, I agree. I definitely agree with the brute shot thing. Definitely agree with that. But it's got to be faster than the brute shot because the brute shot didn't fire very quickly.
I actually think it's gonna be slower than the brute shot is where I'm leaning towards the Spartan laser part, where it's slower. It's more powerful than a brute shot, but it's still that concussion type weapon, right?
Because, I mean, with the brute shot, people used to just sit around corners, fire at you once, beat down, there you go, there's a kill. Obviously, yeah. There'd be some recoil, but do you think you could do that with a railgun? Because it would be far too powerful, and would they explode you away from each other so you couldn't do the quick melee?
No, I see it pretty much handling exactly like the brute shot, but, you know, with slower firing. In that, yeah, you knock people around with it. That's just what I get out of it.
Mm. Well, that'll be interesting to see.
I don't think anybody can argue that. With everything it's said, though, it pretty much, like, statistically has to be somewhere between those two weapons, right? Somewhere between the insta-kill charge-up Spartan laser and the relatively quickly firing brute shot with, like, explosives. Like, it's got to be somewhere in there.
Well, that would make sense.
Or it could be both.
It could be both. Yeah,
it could be both.
Well, it absolutely could be. Like we said before, it could be some kind of quickly tapping plasma pistol type deal.
I mean, when I look at it, I do see a cross between a shotgun and a sniper rifle, like I said at the start. But like you said, I know you don't like the idea of a sniper rifle.
Jack, what you're saying there, actually, you could compare your shotgun sniper rifle with a brute shot and a and the Spartan laser, in the sense that, you know, the brute shot is more of an up close and personal weapon, where the Spartan laser is a more far away one hit kill. And that's the same thing as a sniper. Sniper's a far away one hit kill. Shotgun's up close. So we're definitely thinking along the same track here. You're just thinking different weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're agreeing here, just in different words.
Yeah.
Right. And there's just, I think that one of the big reasons issues that we're having this whole discussion is that there's so many similarities between other weapons of the Halo arsenal. And it's just, okay, we're really not sure how this weapon's going to act yet.
And anyone who says brand new. Do it wrong. Like, it's because it's so mysterious right now.
Right. As everything else is regarding Halo 4 at the moment.
Just really want to know, with your charge up, like Spartan laser kind of thing, could this weapon be used to take down vehicles?
I cannot see it as a vehicle weapon, no. It has very, very, very potential ability to act as a grenade launcher in the sense that it could disable vehicles. That's just, I'm going out on a limb there. I don't see it being a destroyer of vehicles, though. Unless, of course, the only way it would be that is if it. And then there's so many aspects to this discussion, is if it is like the Spartan laser, then yes, I can obviously see it being a vehicle weapon.
I would almost say if you look at it in terms of the concussion rifle, where it's not going to...
It would knock the vehicle, right?
It would knock the vehicle around, but if you get enough direct hits on a vehicle, you can definitely take it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the wording in the description, again, is what you need to focus on here, where it says, provide kinetic force against soft and hard objects. Where, like, as though it sounds kind of weird, soft would be more referring to, like, humans, right? Like, actually,
right. Even and though they're hard as the vehicles.
That's what it means. We're hard being a warthog, and you flip the crap out of it if you shoot it.
Right. But I think if it's in terms of concussion rifle, you can hit the warthog dead on with this thing. It's not going to take it out immediately, but you can toss it up in the air.
Or something, yeah.
But if you get enough shots on it, I think you could definitely blow it up.
I'd say that pretty much covers everything that this weapon could be.
I think the only weapon this doesn't really involve is like the plasma pistol, the plasma rifle, and then the pistol.
How the charge up works with the plasma pistol. It could very well have handle like that. So.
Well, you don't hold the charge and then release. It's more of how the beam rifle works, I would think. It's like,
me and Jack are saying in the sense that if you fire press the crap out of that trigger, like just slam on it, you fire quick, short bursts of it, where if you hold it, you will get that one-shot, strong, powerful burst. And I can absolutely see that working with this.
That's what I think. I can't get away from that. I think that's what it is.
And it's, again, looking up to that MAC can at the end of reach, just think of how it handles, and just think of that meter you use when you fire it.
That's true.
And just pretend you can fire.
Although that's a statically defined amount that has to be charged up and how long you have to hold it. That's not variable like you're discussing.
Yeah, not necessarily variable.
Which, but either, again, this is all speculation on information that we don't know of yet.
But my question is there a zoom on the gun?
That's hard to say.
It looks like it has a similar kind of zoom to the assault rifle.
I would say, I was thinking like a 2x zoom similar to the assault rifle.
Yeah, I was thinking a very small.
What, but 2x. Didn't Spartan Laser only 2x. Have that sort of small zoom as well?
No, Spartan Laser has.
There's a zoom. It's pretty
good. It had a zoom, but it didn't have a massive zoom. It only had a small zoom.
I think it's a half decent zoom.
I thought it was a 5x zoom.
Yeah, I thought it's pretty decent.
Oh, okay.
I thought the Spartan laser was a 5x zoom.
This one doesn't look like it could have more than 2x.
I would say with how this looks like, the digital uplink scoping would probably be just 2x.
Yeah, I'm putting this either 2x or 5x. Like, it's not going to go higher.
Right, right.
Obviously, for many reasons.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to have
zoom. Yeah, because if it's anything higher than that, you're basically turning it into a sniper rifle with an explosive round.
Another focus rifle, and everyone just hated that kind of stuff, so. Yeah.
Yeah, the design is very similar to the focus rifle.
Yeah, I know, I see that too, absolutely. And that's where I'm getting some inspiration from the focus rifle.
Right. So, there's we've speculated a lot on this weapon so far.
So I don't think we missed what it is.
It's a mini mag gun. That's all you need to know.
It's going to turn out to be like a melee-only weapon. We totally missed out.
Oh, you can
definitely do anything.
Dude, the rail gun, it shoots train rails, right? Or yeah, something, I don't know.
It's like a new striker.
You have these metal beams just shooting out of a gun.
Knives out of there to stab people.
Rail gun? I thought you said nail gun. Hey-o. Oh.
No, but I think we've more or less cottoned on, or at least we've decided on what we think it probably is. But
I think we're pretty safe to say that, though.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it works, and I don't think it looks like it's going to be a successful weapon in the franchises.
Yeah, it looks cool. Well, they're definitely, you know, the fact that it was on that cover of OXM, they definitely think it's a cool weapon, right? Well, and then look at they did have the Spartan laser, or they showed it off a lot when they first announced it. So I think it's akin to that in the sense that yeah, it's going to become a relatively iconic thing, assuming people like it.
Right. Was there any other human weapons that have been in the other? Oh, the SMG. We didn't mention that one.
I think it could absolutely fit well in Halo 4. Like, just have SMGs just to add to the arsenal. Like, look at how Halo 3 worked. You know, SMGs were cool, and you use them. You didn't really use them that much. When you did, like, it was neat. Like, you never complained about having SMGs in the game, right? Like they could work right. The exact same way in Halo 4. Just throw down some SMGs.
Well, most of the time with SMGs in Halo 3, though, you were dual-wielding in most cases. And there's no dual-wielding in Halo 4, so...
But, see, you know, crank it up. Make it like an ODST cool... SMG.
Silence. With the silencer and everything.
I guess that's a point we could touch on. Should they bring dual wielding back?
I want to say, well, I've had this discussion with someone, if not on the show, but it was probably with Keith from the Running Riot. I don't think bringing it back would be detrimental, but I don't think it's a necessity to bring back dual wielding.
No.
I think Halo would survive with or without dual wielding, but I would prefer without.
Well, look at it this way. We have two more Halo games coming. I think it's safe to say there's a 50-50 chance. It's completely possible to come back in either Halo 5 or Halo 6, because it is something that has been done in multiple Halo games. So why not try it again, right? Why not go back to that, revisit that?
You just got to decide what weapons you can dual wield again.
Yeah.
Right, and 3-4, and since 343 is going to be their first game, they might want to dab into how they might implement dual wielding and see if they like it or not.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd be fine with the dual wielding SMGs, but then you can't make it that much. You can't make it more powerful than an assault rifle.
Right, or you could have the assault rifle be more powerful at longer range, and have the SMG be more powerful at shorter range, like the DMR and the VR.
Yeah, but there has to be that also the point where
there has to be an offset like,
with using grenades in melee. There has to be because in Halo 3 it used to be an instantaneous drop of the weapon to melee, you can pick it straight back up again. There has to be a sort of delay. You can't just do that and do it again because that becomes
even listening to this discussion right now, it's pretty clear that the main issue with dual wielding is a balance issue.
Yeah,
and 343 said that themselves is why they didn't do it in Halo 4. But just listening to you guys talk right here, like, okay, well, then it has to have this. Yeah, but then it has to have that. Like, it's just the counter arguments never end. And that's what the issue with dual wielding is. Like, there's nothing wrong with dual wielding. It's a cool thing. It's a neat feature. But it's all
realistic
about balance and work, right? That's so difficult to do with dual wielding.
Yeah, I personally don't care to see it back in. If it's back in, then fine.
Yeah.
As long as the system works and it doesn't break, then like armor lock.
If we come back to dual wielding pistols with how powerful we want the pistol to be, that's just going to be insane. That would just be insane.
Right.
Don't want to see that.
Do we want to speculate on Covey weapons at all?
I don't think there's anything we can speculate other than obvious. I do think though that they're going to be bringing back a Covenant sniper rifle.
I certainly hope they bring back the BM rifle.
I think it's very likely they're ditching this focus rifle crap, bringing back in the old, what's that one? The BM rifle.
Yeah, you got it right the first time.
I think it's very likely. People have been clamoring for it, and there's no reason to not have it. With the way Halo 4 is looking, they're definitely implementing a lot of stuff, taking a lot of cues from Halo 3. I think it's pretty safe to say we're going to see the BM rifle again.
Then where do we go with 4-runner weapons?
Oh,
we're going to save that for another show.
I think it's possible they could have both the beam rifle and the focus rifle for Covenant snipers, and then for Covenant medium range, they could have both the needle rifle and the carbine.
I hope they get rid of the focus rifle. I don't think it's
because if they're having both
I hope
DMR
they get rid of the focus rifle and the needle rifle.
If they're having both DMR and BR, it just makes sense that they would have both.
Well, that's a good case.
It is a good point. You're right.
You know,
I think a lot of people just preferred the carbine to the needle rifle. I think I do.
Well, I think that might be why we haven't seen the focus rifle in a while, because it got superior. It got beat over by the beam rifle. Wink, wink.
The carbine was just like a quicker version of the DMR, effectively.
Yes. But there's no real BR equivalent on the Covey side. I would prefer the Covenant carbine over the needle rifle.
Oh, yeah.
And is it for Halo that there's speculation of a carbine?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of
what
things.
Is there any new, like...
Yeah, I don't know where it stems from. I've never heard...
Because I've heard it, but it's like,
yeah, I've heard
okay.
it in, like, comments on YouTube and stuff, and I've seen it around, but
and it's been compared to the SMG.
Yeah, I haven't seen it anywhere, though.
The assault carbine?
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
It sounds, from what people have been comparing to, and at least from the rumors that I think most of us have heard online, is that they're comparing it to the SMG somehow. Similar fire rate, similar damage, possibly a different design, but similar in aspect to the SMG from Halo 2 and Halo 3. That'd be my guess.
Oh.
Someone's tired.
Yeah. I don't know what I would.
Well, I mean, it's not like, you know, you want to know what it could possibly be. I mean, you look at a real life assault carbine, right? Like, what is that like, you know?
Exactly.
What is an assault carbine, so to speak? I do kind of like, you know, how Halo as a whole. Instead of being like Call of Duty, right, and instead of the weapons, like, you pick them up, they have, like, you know, all these, like, super specific, like, you know, designations with all these numbers and this and that. They just simplify it. Like, this is the battle rifle. Like, it has a designation, but, like, in general, it is a battle rifle. Like, it's just simplified. Like, it's very refined.
Yeah. Right.
This is the assault rifle. It has a designation, but, you know, who cares?
It's just a matter of time until we get more information about it anyways. I mean, and if the rumors are true.
I mean, do you guys have any theories on, like, Forerunner weapons at all? I mean,
the only thing that we've seen... Beam. Yeah, the only thing that we've seen is Sentinel Beam. And the... Well, we've also seen the... what were the big things in Halo 2 that floated that had the shields in front?
Sentinels?
No.
Guardians?
No, there were sentinels.
Yeah, no, they were like super sentinels. They were like, yeah, those mini bosses. Yeah,
they had another name. For some reason, I want to say dreadnoughts, but I don't. It's not
No, dreadnoughts, the big like Eiffel Tower looking spaceship, right?
Yeah. But there's a name for the big floaty. I'll look it up.
Wasn't it Guardians? I thought it was Guardians.
Wait, of what?
It was like, wasn't the Halo 3, the scrap campaign level Guardian Force, supposed to have a bunch of those things on it, right?
Wait, are we talking about the floating Forerunner dudes that...
No, okay, I think
remember
like,
in Halo,
Halo 2, when you're playing the Arbiter, and he's in those Forerunner facilities...
Oh, the giant Sentinel dudes?
The giant Sentinels with, like, the shields in front of it, yeah, the hard...
Oh, yeah, what are those called? They're not Guardians.
They're like mini-bosses.
Yeah, what are those called?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
We'll find this out.
Yeah. But those had rocket pods and something similar to needlers.
Oh, it's called an enforcer.
There we go.
Oh, Google.
I knew one of us would find out what it was. Yep, there it is. Enforcer.
I mean, I don't know why I suddenly have this idea, but I just have this feeling that there's going to be like a Forerunner weapon that's going to be allow you to move objects. Like movable objects,
like the Half-Life, the gravity gun.
Yeah,
that would be so sweet. Even if it was a weapon that, like, you obviously use in campaign to, like, solve some, like, mini puzzle kind of things, like, just to, like, move stuff around, I think that'd be sweet. It's kind of strange, but I think it would work perfect in Halo. Like, it'd be a great evolution of it. But let's not see it in multiplayer. You probably wouldn't, except have the option to use it, right? So put it in Forge. Like, think of the things you could make. If you had, like,
it's the new Sentinel beam, right? Like, in Halo 3, like, it's in Forge, but you never see matchmaking because it's overpowered.
Yeah. How cool would it be, though, to have, like, box fights? You're literally launching boxes at each other. That'd be very cool.
Box fights?
Yeah, it'd be sweet.
Hmm.
That is definitely Combat Evolved, isn't it?
It could absolutely work.
Yeah, but I just really feel like that is going to be a fun weapon. And I just give up another one, a portal gun.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen people make a portal gun in Halo Reach.
So they're going to make slip space jumps within...
Well, I mean, you have the old idea of the spawner vision where you can see through walls. So why is it so hard for them to just... like travel through walls and all that stuff. I know that's stupid. I know, but still, it wouldn't be a weapon you could
travel through walls.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, that's a bit ridiculous. I don't feel like, I said this a couple episodes ago. I don't feel like the Forerunner vision is that outlandish anymore after playing the Ghost Recon Future Soldier beta, because you throw this sensor grenade and it turns within all the enemies within the radius of it. They're like these red silhouettes you can even see behind walls and stuff, like on your radar. Mm. So, I'm assuming it's probably similar to that.
Yeah, there's still some more details about the whole Forerunner vision, or Promethean vision, as it's been clarified to be named.
I think it was a good name change. I laughed when they first said Forerunner vision. I'm like, really? Like, you couldn't think of a better name for that? But Promethean vision sounds pretty cool.
Promethean vision.
Promethean.
Forerunner vision is easier to say, though.
But it just, I don't know, it just sounds so cheesy to me. So, like, yay, like, almost as stupid as the Spartan laser sounds. Like, it's just so obvious.
So here's a question for you. Did you prefer Halo 3 Recon or Halo 3 ODST?
Ooh.
ODST. Recon would, like, make no sense.
Okay. Yeah, ODST, because it made sense overall. I like the sound of the name Halo 3 Recon. Like, because when they first announced, I'm like, yeah, that sounds wicked. Let's go play some Halo 3 Recon. But, because ODS, I mean, obviously it just makes sense for it to be called ODST. But actually, like, the sound of it wise, I like the sound of Recon.
Halo 3 ODST was almost awkward to say in a way.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know why they would name it something else. Maybe, like, Helljumper or something. Like, no,
they're going to call it Helljumpers. Yeah, why not? Right?
Halo 3 Helljumper? Oh, yeah.
Hmm. So, yeah, in terms of Forerunner weapons, the only things I can think of is the Sentinel Beam and then the two things on the Enforcers.
The weapons are probably going to be gray in color scheme, right? We can deduce
that. Or the laser
that
from Spark.
Well, what I like to point out is every single Forerunner freaking thing ever is a beam. Look at the giant towers that shoot beams. Look at Guilty Spark. He shoots a beam. Everything Forerunner are beams.
Except the Enforcers.
What else they would use?
Well, Halo 4 is where they can innovate that. Maybe the Dyson Sphere where Master Chief goes in Halo 4 has, like, some, you know, secret cachet of Forerunner, you know, equipment and weapons we haven't even seen
before.
You
mean cash?
Cachet? I say cachet.
Cachet?
No accent on the E.
Wow. I've never heard
cash, I don't know,
anyone
cash
say
sounds
cachet.
It sounds like catch.
But that's argue it all you want.
Cachet. I've never heard it said like
there's
that.
There's an accent on the E would be pronounced cachet.
Cachet.
Come
it's
on,
like
man,
Kesha.
Kesha. A weapons Kesha.
Fine, how about this? Perhaps the Dyson Sphere where Master Chief goes has a giant armory. A Forerunner weapons and equipment that we've never even seen before.
You know, I think it'd be really cool, though. Speaking of the fact that pretty much everything Forerunner is beam, other than those, like, rockets, why not have a Forerunner grenade that's literally a wall mine? That's my favorite idea. Have a wall mine. Like, just put it on the wall and it shoots a little laser, you step into it, you blow up. That'd be sweet.
God, we're taking a lot of this stuff from Half-Life, aren't we?
So like a wall claymore?
Yeah. Well, like, pretty much like every video game has done this, where it's...
Yeah.
You know, they shoot out that beam off the wall, but I just think it would work. Like, look at,
Make a sticky explosive.
Like a Halo 3 mine, but just wall-mounted, right?
That'd be interesting.
It'd be pretty cool.
Thoughts are running around rampant. Yeah, I don't know what other kind of weapons it would be. It would have to be energy based, I would think.
It's just that for me, it's the telekinetic weapon. I would love to see.
Yes, you and your telekinesis.
Yeah.
Well, they're in a virtual environment, so then maybe they could hack it like the Matrix.
Oh God!
Yes, I did just reference the Matrix in this podcast.
Does anyone feel like we have, as far as Halo 4 info, we have even with the Gunformer stuff, we still have like very little like very little real substance to go on, and like we're almost over speculating at this point.
They should absolutely be commended with how they're keeping their secrets. Like, especially with Halo games and stuff in the past, things always leak so quickly. Like, oh, here's, like, everything you need to know about the game, right? And yeah. The fact that they're keeping it so hush-hush, they haven't even announced, like, no one knows anything about what the enemy is. Like, that's amazing that they're this far along in development.
Well, we know that there's Covenant. We know there's Covenant.
No, but the Covenant's probably just going to be some ragtag, like, on the side nonsense. I mean, you know, the main enemy is probably going to be something Forerunner related or the Floods or something, right?
But we don't know specifically, right? So the fact that that's under wraps still is pretty impressive.
Well, the thing we have to remember is there's still half a year to go.
Yeah.
It's not like they're not giving us information right now. It's just they're giving us... It's almost like the perfect dose of information, if you think about it. It's at least for... I know for you, Green Skull, you put out videos about once a week. And there's a couple other YouTubers like Naked Eli and Bravo who put out weekly content, and it's almost a perfect steady amount of information coming out. It is.
I have been finding my videos have been between 6 and 7 minutes, like on the mark. Yeah. I don't plan it. I just go through all my material, and I'm like, wow, it's the same amount of time. It's the exact same amount of info released every week.
Yeah, it's almost a perfect dose of Halo 4 info, and I'm almost wondering what's going to happen after Game Informer's released all the information that they have. Is there going to be like a lull until E3 comes around?
Probably. Well, the thing is, at E3, I mean, they're probably going to have like a 20-minute on-stage gameplay demo, right? Probably, I would assume.
Not 20.
Or I mean, yeah, like,
they'll have a booth
like
with gameplay
or
stuff,
during
the Microsoft press conference, I'm sure they're going to have a 7-8 minute play or a gameplay video of Halo 4. Because there was always a VIP party where people got to play or got to see like the first 10 minutes of the Halo 4 campaign.
Those are stupid. Okay, give something the general public can, you know, savor. All right. I just hate all those, like, you know, behind closed doors, like, you know, super VIP behind the scenes reveals. Like, what's the point of those? Like, barely anyone can even see it.
At this stage, the point of those is publicity. Is to get people talking, right?
Publicity on what? Like, what do they see? Oh, we don't know? Like,
well, it's all a marketing thing. Like, look at, for instance, this whole NYC thing that happened. And it was all these football players who half of them probably didn't give a crap about the game, but they're there and everyone's like, holy crap, these football players are playing the game. It's all about marketing. It's what they're doing right now. The fact that people are playing it, you know, people are playing it. You know, the game is playable. These people can vouch for the game being a good game.
That's not making me want to buy it though. That's just making me pissed off at 343. They want to market it while it's actually
shows they're the ones that are
going to show some content to the general public.
That's making you pissed off though, and that's just because it probably makes us pissed off because we have a different personality. But you got to think of the grand scheme of things, marketing wise, it makes a lot of sense to do this thing.
It's not the same thing as releasing it out to someone like IGN or Game Informer, but it's very similar in that the effect that most of the people that probably went there have a very similar effect on being able to spread that information and promoting it to the groups that spread them out.
And not to mention when people are at these VIP events, you know, they're treated like VIPs. So it's kind of like you give someone all this free stuff, they're not gonna like talk bad about it. It's if you're smalling these small groups of people are getting doses of Halo and getting treated like rock stars, they're gonna say great things about it.
Okay, but say you don't do that. Say you actually just show the game to the general public. Would that be unsuccessful?
Well, not necessarily unsuccessful, but I just don't think it's what they should be doing.
It doesn't generate hype enough. Because whenever there's a private.
Hype.
whenever there's a private event like this, it tends to generate a lot of hype.
Just look at it this way. We wouldn't be here talking about it for all this time if it was just released to everybody. Like, it would be completely different discussions. Right now, we're just hyped.
It's a different attitude.
We would be having fruitful discussions about actual content as opposed to speculating about what a bunch of people are saying behind closed doors.
If the game was coming out in like a week, your point would be completely valid, but it's still half a year away. This is just the beginning stages of it, right? It just makes sense to do this from a marketing standpoint.
We've only seen like 20% of the arsenal. We have seen like none of the vehicles. I think like E3 needs to be just like an explosion of information.
I'm happy with the trickle feeding. I'm enjoying it. I think it's a good strategy so far.
Wait, can someone remind me when E3 is?
Beginning of June, right?
June. I want to say June 5th.
Wait, yeah, isn't it always June 5th to June 7th?
So wait.
June 5th to June 7th. Yep, I was right.
So what you would want is you would want pretty much all the information to come out at E3 and then nothing for the next 5 months.
No, not all of it. I'm just saying a lot. I mean, we've only seen like a little bit of the arsenal. We haven't even like seen any vehicles. I mean, just a little bit more.
I think with what we've seen with all the Game Informer stuff, it's been mostly multiplayer focused. I think what we're going to see at E3 is a lot more campaign focused stuff.
That's what it seems.
We're going to see a lot more story of Halo Chief and Humanity, and we're going to get a first glimpse, or well, more of a second glimpse, because the concept art trailer that we saw at Halo Fest was supposed to have something reminiscent of what we'll see. So it would be technically a second tease into this new enemy that we'll be fighting.
Speaking of which, you going to PAX this year, Justin?
Yeah, I'm going. Whether or not I'll have a pass is another issue.
Did you not get a pass?
I didn't know passes were sold until they were already sold out.
Oh, crap. Yeah, lots of people didn't get them. Well, no, like, I say don't worry. We'll all figure something out. Like, all the Waypoint moderators and stuff, because lots of people didn't get in, right? So we're all going to figure it out. We'll figure it out.
We have our little group. We'll figure it out. And actually, the Texorcist over at Griffball Hub is looking to put together a podcast panel. And if it goes through, I'll be on the panel, so I'll get a speaker badge anyways.
Dude, that'd be sweet.
So I might have a free ticket in.
I got to do a panel sometime. It'd be fun.
You'll be on the panel one of these days, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Some fun Halo.
You'll be part of the crazy group.
The fun, like the Griffball and the Forge and all.
Exactly.
Those
exactly. So, yeah, I think in terms of weapons, that pretty much covers anything and everything that we have been given so far. And I don't know if we'll see many things on new Covenant weapons. I would assume it's mostly going to be Covey weapons that we've already seen tweaked. I don't think we'll see any new stuff. We'll probably see more, if there are, weapons of this new enemy that we're seeing, whether it be Forerunner or some other kind of opposition that we're not aware of yet.
Yeah.
So.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell, indeed. So, thanks everyone for listening in. We will be doing another show here in a couple of days. The show right before this was kind of just a glimpse into what we're going to be talking about, since Greg Daft and I had kind of long weeks and we were tired at the time of recording, so we just decided to do a short one to get stuff out. So
yeah, we do have long weeks. Thank God summer's coming in like a month.
Yeah. So this is the first of three shows that's kind of related to the episode 286. And this was, of course, the weapons. We're going to talk about the Game Informer podcast and the Waypoint Bulletin that got put out this week on the next show. And then we will talk about the more of the campaign stuff in the last show on... It might be Thursday, so we might do a fourth show. We're not, I don't want to say we're going to, but it might end up being that way. And then we'll talk about, there's an article out in Game Informer about Cortana being that she's a smart AI. She only has 7 years to live, and with all the Forerunner technologies that she's gained, it's changed her in ways. So we'll talk about that in one of the podcasts this week as well.
Wow, she only has 7 years to live. That sounds like she watched the video Halo Ring.
I never made that connection. She saw Halo, man. She saw the ring.
I know.
Wow.
Holy crap. We figured it out.
Heard you here first, people.
Except instead of, like, some grudge chick, it's Forerunners or something.
Hmm. That'd be interesting. So if you guys have any comments or anything you want to say about anything we'll be talking about this week, go ahead and send us the line at submissions@poddeckler.com, or you can use the green submit button on our homepage, and you can use the contact form there to send in your stuff. You can also call into our listener voicemail, which is 206-339-6937, and leave a audio clip that will play on the show at probably the end of this week, depending on how many we get. And you can also visit our forums, which we have about, I want to say, 70 active members? Daft?
Active?
Yeah, how many would you say is, like,
What do you active? Mean, like, define active? Like, posting, like, every week?
Like, yeah, posting every week or so.
Ooh, no, like 20, man. 20?
20? Is it that low now? Oh, boy. We need to fix that. That needs to be fixed. Anyways.
Hey, man, you know, I'm here, like, every, you know, episode saying go to the forums, you know, all you listeners. Yeah. But do they, you know, sometimes not so much.
Yeah. We talk about other games, talk about Dash's favorite subject, politics.
Yeah, guys, you guys want to, like, go spout off? I mean, you don't even need to talk about Halo. I mean, you want to spout off about the 2012 election, you know, where we're hopefully going to overthrow the socialist regime. You just go to the forums and go to the open discussion board and go to the 2012 thread and you just spout away.
Hurry up and end this podcast before he talks more about politics.
Yeah.
Podtacular is a conservative network.
Not officially endorsed. There's also, since there's not any way to really submit custom games or maps anymore, we won't be doing that for the time being, but you can still send in your funny stories, and you can at least talk about the maps that you've made and say they're in your file share. You can still search for people's file share by going to the in-game browser, but there's just no web portal now to do that. At least for the time being. It sounds like they'll have something out this summer, so in a couple months we'll probably see a web API of some kind to actually view your file share. So that'll be nice. I think that pretty much covers it for the night, guys. I want to thank Green Skull and Jack Fire for being on the show. Thank you guys for coming.
Be sure to subscribe to me on YouTube. youtube.com/readyuplive.
I'm not going to say my YouTube channel or our YouTube channel. It's just too bad.
I'm all about shameless self-promotion.
Hey, that's fine. There's been a lot of cross-promotion lately between a lot of people.
Well, I mean, with Naked Eli, I mean, it's great if we get people promoting.
There's Naked Eli, there's Green Skull, there's Bravo, there's Rooster Teeth,
you know,
there's Griffball Hub.
Duquesne's the new guy on the scene. Duquesne's moving up.
That's what we should
Who
do.
Is?
We should use this. We should use our promotion to promote our channel back. We should try.
Once we start generating content for that channel, yeah.
I guess, yeah. We gotta do that first.
I gotta send you the lines tonight, by the way.
Oh, yeah, do that later.
So.
Mission coming soon.
Check out Green Skull. And a lot of you guys have requested that we start looking into doing regular videos. So I'm going to try it out this week and do a video probably every other day, every 3 days for Halo content. I know this is kind of bad timing, but you guys have been asking for it, so I'll test it out, see what you guys think, and we'll go from there. I'll try it for about 2, maybe 3 weeks. And if you guys like it, make sure you go over and watch it and hit the like buttons on it. Our YouTube channel is Podtac TV. That's PODTAC TV. So go over there, and you'll probably see a video up this week, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday.
Wait, will it be a vlog or actually in that game?
It'll probably be in game because right now my room is pretty bare, so there would be nothing to really look at.
It's better that way. It's also easy to film.
So once I have all my stuff here and I can actually have my bookcase of Halo stuff back up, like I used to do for my personal vlogs, and see if I can outdo Green Skull, which I know I can't.
Bring it! Bring it, man! I'll take you down!
You have that fancy Halo 3 ODST banner, which I can't beat, so...
Yeah.
You can try.
But I have a bookcase full of Halo stuff. So I do have that.
Bring it.
So... It'll be mostly endgame, I think, for the first bit until I get my stuff up here.
Cool, thick cat.
Indeed. Thanks again, guys, for listening. And until the next few days, I guess, keep on fragging trucks.